If you have your Bible, I invite you to read along with me. I'm reading from the Gospel, or from the book of Acts, chapter 26, and a little passage there. Paul the Apostle has been arrested, and he's been imprisoned, arrested first in Jerusalem, and then taken with the Roman soldiers to Caesarea, and there he was in prison for a couple of years while he was awaiting a proper trial. And there was one king who had been in authority, and then he was replaced by King Agrippa. And now Paul is being called up to testify about why he is in prison, why he's been arrested in the first place, and so he is giving an account of what his side of the story is. And he begins by saying, "King Agrippa, I consider myself fortunate to stand before you today as I make my defense against all the accusations of the Jews, and especially because you're well acquainted with the Jewish customs and controversies, and therefore I beg you to listen to me." And then he talks about how he had been one of those who was zealous to stamp out the Christian faith, and he was against this movement of belief in Jesus. And he was on one of those journeys when that bright light appeared from heaven and blinded him, and he was taken into the city of Damascus, and there he was prayed for and received his eyesight. So I'm reading, beginning with verse 12, as Paul gives his story. He says, "On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, O king, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' Then I asked, 'Who are you, Lord?' 'I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting,' the Lord replied. 'Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. I am sending you as a servant and a witness,' he says." And there's a big change that Paul is undergoing. Maybe you've heard the old story about Conrad Cornelius O'Donald O'Dell. Dr. Seuss wrote, one of those great theologians, right? I don't know if he was or not. "Said Conrad Cornelius O'Donald O'Dell, my very young friend who is learning to spell, the A is for ape, and the B is for bear, the C is for camel, the H is for hare, the M is for mouse, and the R is for rat. I know all 26 letters like that. Through to Z is for zebra. I know them all well," said Conrad Cornelius O'Donald O'Dell. "So now I know anything. I know everything anyone knows from beginning to end, from start to the close, because Z is as far as the alphabet goes." Then he almost fell flat on his face on the floor when I picked up the chalk and drew one letter more, a letter he'd never dreamed of before. And I said, "You can stop if you want with the Z, because most people stop with the Z, but not me. In the places I go, there are things that I see that I never could spell if I stopped with the Z. I'm telling you this because you're one of my friends. My alphabet starts where your alphabet ends. My alphabet starts with a letter called Yuz. It's a letter I use to spell Yuzimatas. You'll be sort of surprised what there is to be found when you go beyond Z and start poking around. So on beyond zebra. Explore like Columbus. Discover new letters like WUM is for Wumbus, my high-spouting whale who lives high on a hill, who never comes down till it's time to refill. So on beyond Z. It's high time you're shown that you really don't know all there is to be known. Well, the story goes on, and I'm not going to read the whole book. If you want, you might try to check it out. But when I went online to purchase a copy, I discovered it was $117 on Amazon because there are five of Dr. Seuss books that somehow became offensive in the last couple of years, and that's one of them. Evidently, Columbus might be offensive to some, and maybe this Arab-looking guy that's on this creature that looks sort of like a camel might be, one of those targets of people who maybe don't like Arabs or something. I don't know, but there are a couple of others, like If I Ran the Zoo. I think that was in Grandma Overfield's library at Muncie there, and a few others. So if you want to read it, just Google it online, right? That's what most people do now anyway. So, well, Dr. Seuss had a way of getting adults and children to look a little deeper, maybe a little farther, and there's never any mention of Theodore Geisel being a Christian or maybe a believer, but there are a couple of lines I just read that seem sort of like something Jesus might say to us or to someone else. Dr. Seuss says, in the places I go, there are things I could never spell if I stopped with the Z. So on beyond Z, it's high time you were shown that you really don't know all there is to be known. And there are numerous times in the Bible when God called people to go on beyond Z or on beyond what they were familiar with. If you read the book of Genesis, you see this guy named Abraham who was called by God to leave his homeland and journey to this new place. And he did that in faith. And then he was told, you're going to have a son. He waited and waited and waited, and long about the time he got into his 90s and his wife was the same age, they discovered that God's promise was true. And so Isaac was born to aged parents. And then in chapter 22, as this child of the promise is growing up, maybe close to a teenager, I don't know, but God told Abraham to take your son, your only son, and take him to Mount Moriah, and there you'll offer him as a sacrifice. And what kind of God would ask you to do that, I don't know, but Abraham is faithful, and he took the journey all the way to Mount Moriah, and he bound his son, put him on the altar, and then as he was about to raise the knife, he heard the voice of God say, don't kill him, I know that you're faithful. And then God provided the ram. And so Abraham, on beyond what anyone might have expected. And then there was Isaiah. We read the calling of Isaiah the prophet, but we didn't read the little bit past that, which said that God had called him to go and talk to the people and to tell them, even though they wouldn't listen. You could tell them the message, but their hearts were hardened, their ears wouldn't hear, but his job was to go anyway and tell them. And then in the Old Testament, there's Hosea, who God told to marry a prostitute, and so he did. And over you see this, the times as you read that of her unfaithfulness, and he brought her back and continued to be faithful. Daniel, who was told not to pray for 30 days, and the edict of the king, if you pray in those 30 days, you're going to be thrown to the lions. And what did Daniel do? He went and opened the windows, and he prayed in front of everyone to see, and So he went on beyond. And the New Testament filled with similar kinds of things. Jesus' followers had to go on beyond. They start with Jesus himself, who prayed in that garden of Gethsemane, "Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass me by. Nevertheless, not what I want, but what you want." And there was Mary and Joseph, who were told, "You are to give birth to a child. You'll call his name Jesus." What would it be like to be the parents of the Messiah? Are you rocking the Messiah? Are you saying hush or be quiet or be still? Or do you say that to the... What do you say when you're trying to get that little guy to go to sleep, right? And the disciples, Jesus said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And they were not the people we probably would have chosen to carry on the faith and to move forward the message of salvation. And Zacchaeus, the man who was called from his tax collector's booth and who followed Jesus and in tangible ways gave away half of his fortune. And the later accounts was that he was one of those of the early church who was the most faithful. And Paul, that we just read his testimony, a Pharisee of Pharisees, the one who had taken it upon himself to stamp out that Christian movement, those followers of Jesus, they thought was a heretic and blasphemer and zealous to put that down. And then God changed his direction, changed his course of life, and he became the apostle to the Gentiles, the one who wrote half of the New Testament, the letters there and the promises of that. And in one of his books, one of his letters, 1 Corinthians 2:9, it says, "Eye has not seen or ear heard or has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him." And so somehow we as well are called to go on beyond zebra. We're to go beyond in lots of ways. Jesus said, if someone strikes you on the one cheek, then turn the other as well. Do a little more, he said. If your enemy tells you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles. He said, it is written, you will hate your enemy and despise those, but he said, I tell you, love your enemy. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and all these other things will be added. He said to us, go into all the world and make disciples. And so that call to go on beyond. If any man would come after me, Jesus said, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And that's the challenge that we read, and that's the challenge we take on as disciples of Jesus. There are plenty of examples of people who were followers of Jesus who went beyond. If you know the story of Francis of Assisi, a son of a wealthy silk merchant who in the 1200s, one of those wealthy people, young man who would ride his horse through the marketplace and flip coins to the poor folks there until he started to notice them and look in their eyes and see who they really were. And then as he was a person who signed up, went off to war and was captured, held prisoner for over a year before his father could pay his ransom and get him released. And when he came back from his service and his imprisonment, he noticed those poor folks even more, and he began to sell his father's things and give the money away, which angered his father. And eventually Francis gave up his wealth and his prosperity and became the servant of poor people and the repairer of church buildings. And little by little, he spent the rest of his life caring for the poor repairing church buildings, establishing groups of men and women who would also serve the poor. And so St. Francis, who became one of the early Christian leaders, followers of Jesus, who gave it all up, and maybe you've heard his prayer, "Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be loved as to love, to be. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning we're pardoned. It's in dying that we are born to eternal life." And many have learned that prayer of St. Francis. Maybe you've heard the story of Mildred. Mildred wasn't his wife either. So Millard Fuller, you've undoubtedly heard of him, the man who from humble beginnings became a millionaire at age 29 selling cookbooks. And then as his business prospered, his health and his integrity and his marriage suffered. And eventually he was taken to that place where he reevaluated his values and his directions. And his soul searching led him to reconciling with his wife and renewing his Christian faith. And the Fullers took a drastic step in their life. They decided that they would give away their possessions. They gave their money to the poor, and they began searching for a new direction. And they went to the Koinonia Farm in Americus, Georgia, where people were looking for practical ways of living out their Christian faith. And so in 1976, he founded Habitat for Humanity, and they, in the course of time, built over 175,000 houses in over 100 countries. And under his leadership, he attracted lots of prominent volunteers, including President Jimmy Carter and others. And then as he retired from that particular Habitat group and began another group, he built and funded more housing. He went beyond zebra because of his faith. And there are others, one after another. Most who go beyond zebra are little known, because they go beyond zebra following the Lord, not looking for accolades and for affirmation. They're not trying to build a name for themselves. They are simply trying to serve and to be a witness. There was Edna Martin. Some of you may have heard of her. She's a little black lady who lived in the neighborhood in Indianapolis and took care of families and people who were in need, and they struggled often. And she was just that kind grandmother kind of lady who took them in or provided for them or gave them some money or helped them with their needs. And little by little, she developed a group, and they built that East Side Christian Center, and then eventually it was renamed the Edna Martin Center, and even now today, still in the heart of Indianapolis, the Edna Martin Center serves those who are in that particular struggle of life. Maybe you met Liberta. I talked to John about Liberta. Probably if you met her, she might have grabbed you by the hand and prayed for you. She, at 90 years old, was notorious for stopping the checkout line at the grocery store because she would often pray for that person who was ringing up her bill or the person who was sacking her groceries. And I don't know how many times she came and just prayed for me. John's mother-in-law, Liberta. Marilyn Fry's mother, if you didn't meet her, you missed out. But she prayed for lots of people. She didn't care. She was 90 years old. You can call her an old lady if you want to, but she prayed for us again and again. And there are all kinds of ways that people have gone beyond zebra. I remember quite a few years ago when Janet got sick, and somebody suggested that maybe we ought to, you know, go to Mexico and have that stem cell transplant. And I looked into that, and it was $30,000. Who has money to go to Mexico for a stem cell transplant at $30,000? Who even knows whether it'll work or not? And so somebody suggested, well, why don't we have a pancake breakfast? And I thought, well, I've been in the Optimist Club. We've had pancake breakfast, and we can raise maybe $3,000 or $4,000. What's that for a trip to Mexico for $30,000? But somehow you all did that, and that pancake breakfast more than paid for a trip to Mexico for a stem cell transplant. And so, on beyond zebra. What is God calling us to do? Often it's a little bit more, or a bigger dream, or a vision that you didn't think could happen, but God has a way of making it happen. So what is God calling you to do? On beyond zebra. On beyond what the expectation might be. What is that mission that tugs at your heart? The passion in your soul that might take just a little more courage or a little more vision, but it's something there that maybe is tugging at you. What have you not experienced because you stopped with the Z? There was a meeting that was being held by folks from different denominations, and they were trying to compare what each other believed and how do you get into heaven? What is God's requirement? And they kind of settled on this little discussion of what is the minimum requirement? What's the least we need to do in order to get to heaven? And as they were discussing that, this little lady in the group got up and closed her book, and she started for the door, and they said, what's wrong? Are you upset? Or did we offend you? And she said, well, no, but I didn't come to find out what the minimum requirement is. I came to find out what God wants me to do with my life. And sometimes I think we often are serving Jesus with the least instead of with the most. Are we here to just get by? If you were going to hire somebody as an employee, would you want somebody who was just going to do the least they could do? Or would you want somebody who had a vision and who wanted to do the most they could for you? Why is it that we do the least for Jesus so often? How is God inviting you to go beyond zebra? What are your excuses? I'm too old. Well, Liberta was 90 when she prayed for folks, and that was a pretty special thing. I'm too feeble. Well, anybody need a little help there? I got just what you need. Or maybe you're too locked into what you've already planned and what you've got signed up to do. Maybe you've already filled your plate full and it's hard to know what to do. Or maybe the bottom line is I'm afraid of change, or afraid of that new thing, afraid what it might cost or what I might need to do. On beyond zebra. It's time that you knew that there really is more to life than just what we're doing. And so, yeah, we meet together to maybe say some goodbyes, or maybe some see you laters. I don't have plans on leaving town too much. I mean, I can go farther and stay longer, as I've told folks, but my home is in Rochester, and I have a tombstone over there in the cemetery as well. I'll be laid to rest there someday, but on beyond Zebra. That's our call, and that's what God wants each of us to do. Let's pray together, shall we? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are so blessed by your mercy and your grace. You have done so much for us, Lord, in our lives and called us from maybe from childhood, maybe as an older person, maybe as the Apostle Paul, or maybe as Isaiah, or who knows, Lord. But you've called us by your grace to serve you and to follow you. You challenge us, Lord, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross daily and follow. And so we're striving to do that, Lord. So open our eyes and our ears and our minds to what you have for us and where you would lead us and what you would have us do. God, we love you and we thank you that we can gather together to worship. And Lord, as we go from here today, from this place, just help us to be aware that there may be a new letter in our alphabet. There might be a new thing in our life that you want us to do. And may we be willing, Lord, to follow and to serve, to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.